experts link the rise in militant attacks with Afghan Taliban releasing a number of anti-Pakistan terrorists from jail.
This is because of the security vacuum which has been created, number one, in Afghanistan, and number two, the districts which have been captured by Afghan Taliban. On those districts, TTP prisoners have been released. Along with them, a number of other terrorists have been released. So this fresh wave of terrorism in Pakistan is linked with the Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan, which is a banned organization.
The TTP was driven out of Pakistan's erstwhile tribal areas after the country conducted a military campaign in 2015. However, Pakistan says the group still operates out of Afghanistan.
Pakistan hopes the incoming government in Afghanistan will take decisive action against the TTP. But observers are skeptical if Afghan Taliban will do that, given these militant groups often share the same ideology. Kamran Yusuf, Islamabad.
The International Atomic Energy Agency has reported that North Korea has likely restarted its Yongbyon nuclear power plant, the source of fissile material for its nuclear weapons. The news adds pressure to the U.S. to enter talks with Pyongyang, with the White House facing questions.
Well, we have left the door open and obviously reached out through our channels. I don't have an update for you in terms of any response to our offer. Our offer remains to meet anywhere, anytime, without preconditions.
North Korea has not accepted U.S. President Biden's administration's offer of talks because Pyongyang would like to see an end to what it views as a hostile U.S. policy toward it. In particular, Pyongyang bristles at the U.S.-led United Nations Security Council sanctions, which restrain North Korea's international trade, and the periodic military exercises involving some 28,500 U.S. troops in South Korea. Experts at this week's Korea Global Forum for Peace argue Washington needs to do more.
The North maintains that the Biden administration has not proposed a specific or concrete incentives. The U.S. is simply calling on the North to return to the dialogue table, but for North Korea, they need to have some tangible outcome from the talks.
The previous summits between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and former U.S. President Donald Trump gained headlines, but changed little.
With the dispatch of his North Korean nuclear envoy to the U.S. this week, South Korean President Moon Jae-in clearly recognizes time's not on his side, with a presidential election here slated to replace him next March. For U.S. President Joe Biden, however, the North Korean nuclear issue competes on a crowded agenda, with Washington's recent withdrawal from Afghanistan and a surge in COVID-19 cases in the U.S.
Still, the South Korean president seems determined to bring the U.S. and North Korea closer to the negotiating table. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan. La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, dear listeners. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadili, coming to you from your program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting to you as usual from IRIB English Radio. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend and Islamic researcher, Sheikh Murtada Karimi from the Seminary of Qom. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Dear Sheikh, thank you for joining us. Today's question is about an Arabic term, and the term is Thar Allah. What is the meaning of Thar Allah, or translated into English, the one whose avenger is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Please enlighten us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In Ziyara Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is called Thar Allah, and also Imam Ali alayhi salam. In one part we read, A Assalamu alaykum ya Tharallah wa ibn Tharih. Peace be upon you, O Tharallah, that is Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and the son of Tharallah. So two Imams are called Tharallah, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and Imam Ali alayhi salam, and we do not have the same expression for other Imams. But what Tharallah means, what you mentioned is one of the possibilities. The word athar or athar, when we refer to the books of Arabic lexicons, we see that one of the possibilities for translating this word is, avenging the blood of someone, or at-talabu bid-dam. So right. When a person has been killed, for example, when you want to revenge or retaliate somehow, it is called athar. So tharullah means the one who's, as you rightly mentioned, whose avenger is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think from this perspective, it's somehow logically understood the fact that it's showing the importance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and how great was the crime of the people who murdered him, that his avenger, the avenger of the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is God, not the people. So it's showing the greatness of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Ali alayhi salam before God. We also know that the slogan of Ya Latharat al-Hussein was the slogan of Tawabin bin, and Mukhtar al-Thaqafi and his
the uprising of his.
Yeah. And all of them, they shouted Ya Latharat al-Hussein. So somehow they called them the avengers for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. According to some narrations, it is also the slogan of some angels who are next to the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam till the reappearance of Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. And according to some yet other narration, it is the slogan of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam when he reappears. The fact that he also asked for those people who are ready to avenge for the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So it means that because of the fact that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is not only related to the Shia, to the Muslims, no, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is for the whole humanity.
He's a cry of justice for the entire world.
That's a very good point. So from that perspective, the one who is going to avenge for such a personality who belongs not to a clan, not to, a denomination or religion, the blood should be avenged by the creator of the whole world, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is one understanding of the word Tharallah. The other understanding, and maybe many Iranians, they have translated this this second meaning is that Thar means blood itself, and it's true. I mean, in the books of Arabic lexicon, one of the translation of the word Thar is blood. So many Iranians, especially, they translated into Khun-e Khoda, which means the blood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which right. seems to be very somehow weird, but it's been mentioned by some scholars, Shia scholars, that it can be one of the possibilities, but with explanation. So, for example, Allama Majlisi mentions that, according to Lisan al-Arab, he says, "Al-Tharu al-Talabu bid-dam." Thar means to ask for the blood, which means avenging. Waqila al-dam nafsu. Some people means that thar means blood itself. So, one of the possibilities for understanding Tharullah is that it means the blood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Of course, but this is a symbolic meaning.
Exactly. So, for sure, as Shia, we are against anthropomorphism. We do not believe in a physical God. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any body, let alone having vein and blood. So, if we, so first of all, the first answer is that the Tharullah means the one whose avenger is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even if we translate it into the blood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some explanations. It is like, I mean, we should understand it metaphorically speaking and symbolically, like the words, for example, we see that sometimes Yadullah, Imam Ali alayhi salam is regarded as Yadullah, the hand right. of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't mean that na'udhu billah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a body and then he has a hand. No, it's referring to the power of Imam Ali alayhi salam and
his status.
Yeah, and the fact that he is struggling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. So, from the same perspective, we need to understand the term the blood of God, if you accept the second possibility. As I mentioned, most of the scholars, maybe they agree and they understand the first one, and maybe right. most of the Arabic-speaking people, they understand the first one. But if we translate it into blood itself, as I mentioned, we need to understand it metaphorically. One of the understanding is that they call it Idafa Tashrifiya, which means that when you say, for example, Kaaba is Baytullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't mean that na'udhu billah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reside or stay there, for example.
Right.
It is mentioned by both Shia and Sunnis, the fact that Kaaba is called the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is called Idafa Tashrifiya, meaning that when we want to show how great this house is, we attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same is true about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Because of the fact that we want to show how great Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is, and how great was those people who martyred him and those who killed him, we attribute his blood, which is the sign of his life, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also Idafa Tashrifiya.
Right.
And the other understanding is that when we, as I mentioned, talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam being Yadullah, we understand it in a way that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, somehow is the sign of divine power, for example, if we may put it this way. So blood is the symbol for life, okay, is a sign for life. Some people have explained Tharullah to mean that the blood of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam worked as a kind of blood in the veins of the whole Islamic society and the whole religion of Islam. So if Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam did not oppose the ruling Umayyads and Yazid, it was somehow the death of the religion of Islam.
We have his interpretation of his he said, if I give to allegiance to him, then say farewell to Islam.
Yeah. So the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam somehow brought new blood in the veins of the religion of Islam.
Of the pumping heart of Islam.
Exactly. So from this perspective, we can call Imam Hussein alayhi salam the blood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not physically speaking. Metaphorically speaking, it means that without the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there was no sign of Islam anymore. Even there was not any sign for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family anymore. So it was the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam who kept the whole religion of Islam alive. This is a famous expression that Islam nabawiyul huduth, Hussein al-Baqa.
Right.
Islam was brought by our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, but it was kept alive by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
It was preserved and protected by his sacrifice.
Hussein al-Baqa. So we can look at this phrase from this aspect as well, that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, with his life, he revived the whole religion of Islam. And one of the ways that we can show this revival is to call Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam as a new blood, a divine blood.
Right.
So again, it is another metaphor to tell us how great was the uprising of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his martyrdom. So there are two possibilities for understanding Tharullah. The first is that it is referring to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his avenger, because Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam belonged to the whole humanity, and no one can claim that I'm the only avenger of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
No,
the main avenger is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second of all, according to some scholars, we may understand it as the blood of Allah, but not physically speaking, metaphorically speaking, with these two explanations that I mentioned.
I think it might also, they both maybe might go hand in hand, because in the Arabic culture, as far as I'm familiar with it as an Arab myself, when we say that a person has a thar, it means that he wants to take revenge for somebody. It also could be said that he wants to take revenge for the blood of this person that was spilled.
Mm-hmm.
So it could also go hand in hand. Is that also a possibility there, Sheikh?
I think it mainly refers to the first interpretation of the word, because athar in Arabic lexicon, the first meaning is at-talibu bid-dam.
Right.
So to take revenge for the blood which was spilled. So this is the first meaning, and I think what you mentioned somehow refers to the first understanding, and the second one is ad-damu nafsu, the blood itself.
Right.
So we have these two possibilities.
Dear Sheikh, I thank you for your insightful answers and this enlightening discussion, and I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Again, this has been your host, Musa al-Bahadili, coming to you from your program, Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting to you from IRIB English Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لنا شميحا
In the limelight. The United Kingdom will not sweep away the Northern Ireland Brexit protocol, despite renewed calls for its abolition by the Democratic Unionist Party, the DUP, Britain's Brexit Minister David Frost has said. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian's Brexit correspondent Lisa O'Carroll. The piece is titled, David Frost, Irish Sea Row Risks Damaging UK-EU Relations Long Term. The United Kingdom will not sweep away the Northern Ireland Brexit protocol despite renewed calls for its abolition by the Democratic Unionist Party, the DUP, Britain's Brexit Minister David Frost has said. However, David Frost renewed his demands for fundamental changes to its implementation, warning the row could have a long-term chilling effect on wider EU-UK relations unless it was resolved. I worry that if we didn't solve this issue, it is capable of generating the sorts of cold mistrust which will last between us and the European Union. And the mistrust will spread across the whole relationship and will hold back the potential for a new era of cooperation between us in a world which does need us to work together, he said at the British-Irish Association conference in Oxford on Saturday, 4th of September. The row over the protocol, known in some quarters as sausage wars, blew up within days of Brexit being enforced back in January, with barriers imposed for the first time for trade of food, plants and medicines from Great Britain. But with talks set to resume, David Frost told the meeting of senior public figures that triggering Article 16 and suspending the Northern Ireland Protocol was not his preferred option, even though the threshold for such a move had been met. Some would like us to sweep everything away. That's not our position, David Frost told the delegates at the conference. He called on the European Union to engage seriously with proposals for radical changes to the protocol published in a United Kingdom government command paper in July, arguing the proposals do not remove the Northern Ireland protocol and actually retain controls in the Irish Sea for certain purposes. He said society would not forgive either side if they did not make the small muscle movements needed to make the protocol work. When one looks at the price of failure or success and sets it against other challenges that we face in COVID recovery and Afghanistan, one wonders what future generations would say if the impasse is not broken. We have no interest at all in having a fractious and difficult relationship with the European Union, he said. David Frost was speaking just hours after the Irish Prime Minister said at the same conference in Oxford that unilateral moves by the United Kingdom would always be doomed to failure, arguing that history showed partnerships were the only route to success. Talks over implementation of the Northern Ireland Protocol have continued between officials in London and Brussels over the summer, but senior sources say engagement is slow, and it is unlikely an agreement will be reached by 30th of September, indicating talks will extend into the winter months. David Frost said the protocol had to be modified to recognize two sovereign and autonomous entities, not a relationship of subordination or one where one party's rules have to be applied mechanically by the other. The Northern Ireland Secretary, Brandon Lewis, told the same conference in Oxford that the United Kingdom was powering ahead with plans to level up Northern Ireland by announcing a £730 million investment into the new Peace Plus programme to support economic stability, peace and reconciliation in Northern Ireland. Brandon Lewis spoke about the economic successes of the region, including the development of a large cybersecurity sector employing 2,300 staff, but said overall it still punches well below its weight, with pockets of unacceptable levels of deprivation, and much more to be done on segregation in schools in Northern Ireland, with just 7% of children benefiting from integrated education.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are joining us on our program Islamic Upbringing, wherein we discuss problems, issues, and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of our answers are based upon the Holy Quran and the narrations of the household of the Prophet, and of course the Prophet himself, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our expert guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us yet again, dear Sayyid. Our topic today is about saying what you want instead of what you don't want. For example, when we have a child who lies, instead of saying to him, "Don't lie," we say to him, "Be truthful," or "Speak the truth," because this has a psychological effect which you now will enlighten us about.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As people, as humans, sometimes we neglect or fail to understand how the human brain works. And so I think from time to time we need to have a bit of refreshing or refresher course in how the human body works, especially the brain. It's been stated and noted through a lot of studies that the last word in a, when you say a sentence, the brain kind of gets stuck on the last word.
Like remembers it?
The brain hears.
Okay.
Right. So if I, the example that you said, if I say to my child, "Don't lie," the last word that will stick in his head is what?
Lie.
I said, "Don't eat." The last thing that will stick in his head is eat. So always the last word stays in the mind. And if it's been repeated a lot, he gets used and familiar with that concept. For example, "Don't lie, don't lie, don't lie." He becomes used to the concept of lying. And like, maybe I should give it a try. See what happens. Right?
So the opposite desired effect.
Yeah, yeah. So he hears it. So when they say to people, and they done a study about this as well, "Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke," they saw that it's not doing anything, and it's not improving. It's actually going the opposite. People smoking more and more, encouraging, because what stays in their heads is smoke. So they tried to use other methods instead of smoke. For example, instead of saying "don't smoke," they would use a sign of a skull or a sign of something else. Or, you know, they use words that anything but making you, you know, your brain gets stuck with that word. For example, they say smoking kills. Now in cigarettes, from especially in Australia where I'm from, they say cigarettes kills, and they would have a picture of a destroyed lungs, or, you know,
something discouraging.
Something discouraging. So, it takes a different effect. With children, exactly the same. We have so many instructions to give the children, and if one notices that most of the time they begin with don't do this, don't do that. We are constantly saying it in the negative format. We are never saying it in the positive format.
We spoke about this before, how we should also always be positive in our communication.
Exactly. So we need to change and shift that kind of mentality, because we don't want them to be stuck with whatever's in their head, right? So instead of saying to my child, for example, don't be lazy, right? I say to him, it's good to be, I don't know, strong and awake and
active, proactive, or anything.
So on and so forth. So you just use a positive notion. So this way you can trigger certain things in his mind that will make him do and get to the point that you want him to do. And even, for example, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, uses this method in the Quran many times, where he constantly, for example, when he talks about the believers, he constantly talks about, for example, their good traits. And even when he mentions, for example, hell, he would always mention heaven after it, because he wants you to keep the image of heaven in your head, not the image of hell.
He wants the listeners to keep in mind that there is also an alternative, a better way. Also keep this positivity in your...
Yeah. So we see this happens, this trend, that what you say, it is, you know, whether if it's in a positive regard, will take effect. If it's in a negative regard, it might not take the effect that was required of it.
And on that note, we will take a quick break. We'll be back shortly.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Dear listeners, welcome back to your program, Islamic Upbringing. Today's topic is about communicating positive notions when we are speaking to our children about what we want from them and what we don't want. Dear Sayyid, please continue our discussion.
All right, so we were saying that we need to come to realization that we can manipulate the child's brain, not just the child, but anyone's brain, and to getting him to do what we want if we use the right and correct method of talking to them. That's all it takes. You talk to them the right way, and you get to do whatever you want. And even if you pay attention to the words of the Ahlul Bayt and to their ahadith, you would see that most of the times, they don't tell you, for example, don't lie, don't cheat, don't do this. So there are don'ts. But most of the time, they will take about the opposite. For example, Imam Ali, instead of saying don't talk too much, he always says, assam to, for example, Jannah. Assam to this. Silence is this, silence is that. You know. So he would talk about something different, not with a positive notion to it, with a positive effect to it, with a positive reward attached to it, not a negative one. Even though when we say negative, it doesn't mean it's wrong. Like if I'm saying don't lie to my child, there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm not doing anything wrong. But I want to harvest, as we say, the maximum benefit from my child when I'm talking to him.
I want the best result for the child.
Best result from the child. This is what I want. This is our ultimate goal. Especially if we have so many things to set. For example, when it comes to people visiting our house, like, when these people come, don't talk too much. Don't move too much. Sit in your chair.
Right.
Don't do this.
All these instructions.
Right? Yeah, so you give them so many instructions with don't, or in Arabic that begins with la, right?
Right.
In English begins with don't. But in return, you could switch it, like when the neighbors come, be nice, talk to them, bring them food.
Sit respectfully.
Yeah.
Smile.
So he automatically feels involved. He feels like
he's doing his part.
His existence means something. And instead of all these negatives, he himself will act upon it, on the things that you don't want him to do. So you don't want to talk, but you told him to, give the guests, for example, give them water, food, or what have you. So he would be automatically like, okay, I need to give them what I have, and I'm just going to be quiet. And because he feels like now he's part of the party, he's part of the group. And same thing with everything else. So instead of just trying to get it done through a negative notion, you can get it through a positive notion.
Right.
But you have to be smart about it. As
of
a parent,
course.
You have to be smart about it. Because like I said, a lot of parents, in reality, they just don't care.
Unfortunately.
They don't give a, as we say, they just don't give a damn what happened to their children. They will talk to them in whatever language. So we spoke about previously about threatening. They will yell, scream their heads off. They will threaten them. They will do whatever they want because they think they are in power.
And then they expect the child to be a well-functioning adult who respects and loves his family and supports them. And
exactly.
Like
it's not going to happen.
Makes no sense.
It's not going to happen. So I always say that parents that complain about their children, in reality, it's never the child. Never the child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a clean book.
A clean, clean slate. You can shape
it
with your own hands.
Exactly. It's just like if you put an example, it's just a clay, like a piece of clay. You mold it. You create your own creation.
Yeah.
So if you have a monster, there's no one to blame but you. So
exactly.
Don't say, well, you know, what went wrong. And some people are even trying to blame the shaitan being involved. No, it's your own creation.
And on that maybe thought-provoking comment, we will take a quick break. We'll be back shortly.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, excessive blame causes the fire of obstinacy to flame.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to your program Islamic Upbringing. Today's topic is about being positive even when giving instructions and talking about what we want from our children instead of what we don't want, because it is much easier to remember the last word of a sentence, for example. Right, Dr. Said?
That's absolutely right. So since it is the last thing he remembers, so we need to make it a positive one and not a negative one. So
right.
The opposite of lying is truth, for example. The opposite of stealing is being honest, for example. So you just change that word. Even though we said the word itself, it might have no problem itself. Like I view it as cold lying, but yeah,
right.
But it doesn't mean I'm bad. But we say no, use it with the truth. Truth is much better than lying as a concept, as a word, as everything else.
Right.
So if you develop that in their mind, and if you try to grow these seeds in their heads, they will tend to be better people, and they will act and accordingly to what they hear. And the morality will change, and so on and so forth. So we can't, as we ended with, so we can't blame anyone else later on if our child, for example, does not listen. Because the amount of don't that you say to a child, he will be desensitized to it. He will become numb. His brain will become numb to them.
Instead of standing out as a instruction about not doing something, you'll just blend in.
Yeah, so it becomes a meaningless thing to him. It's like,
right.
It's not going to work because he heard it so much. He's been through it so much. And like we said, anything that is forbidden, it's loved or,
It's desired.
You desired or you want to try it out. You don't lie, I might lie.
You want what you can't have.
Yeah, so because it's just a negative command that is not based on anything but positive that I could work with.
Right.
That I can feel the reward of. So as we say, every negative word, it has a negative impact. There's this Japanese scientist. They made a documentary about it. I'm not sure if you've seen it. It's called The Secrets of Water.
I've not seen it before, no.
Yeah, so The Secrets of Water is a documentary about a science in Japan where he said water is alive. It's got a memory. It's alive. It feels.
Okay.
So what they did is they bring different samples of water and they would play a word next to it, right? And then they take that drop of water and they put it under the microscope and they see the formation of the cells of that drop of water.
Reacting to the word.
Yeah. So each word reacts differently to what it's been subjected to. So they took samples of water and they subjected them to swearing words and to foul words. And the molecules, the way they were, the way they were put together inside the cell, it was all over the place. It was very messy. And the drops of water that they were subjected to nice words and positive words, the structure of the molecules of the water was in perfect shape.
That sounds very fascinating.
Yeah, it is very, it's very fascinating. I do advise you to watch it and the listeners to watch it. So if water could do this, it changes shape based on what it hears. Imagine a human being.
Right. That's very thought-provoking, actually, dear Saeed. Mm. We will unfortunately have to end today's discussion on that note. Thank you for joining us on the program, dear listeners. And as usual, if you have any questions, comments, or just some feedback, please write us at our email, imishradio@irib.ir. You can also visit us at our website, Pars Today. Thank you for joining us, and until another program. Allah bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
The Light.
Young generations are becoming more concerned about our planet and seem determined to contribute to make it environmentally friendly. A great example is this Parisian boy who spends a lot of time fishing metals out of rivers and canals in the French capital. Good for him. 11-year-old Raphael uses magnets and grappling irons to fish metal objects out of the Seine River in Paris. Over the past 2 years, he has taken hundreds of bikes, scooters and shopping trolleys out of the water. The boy says the practice was initially a hobby for him, but it eventually turned into a reasonability and a method to raise awareness about climate and environmental issues.
My goal is to raise awareness so that a maximum of people do something. They don't have to do what I do, but at least do something. Even if it's not necessarily cleaning up cannons, it could just be picking up a cigarette butt.
Raphael has also fished some very rare items out of different canals, including handguns, pieces of jewelry, and an artillery shell. An exhibition is therefore being held in Paris where Raphael's findings are going to be put on display. The young environmentalist has also been awarded the Medal of Paris, a prize belonging to the residents who accomplish a deed concerning the city. Brazilian researchers have discovered a substance that could be used as a drug against COVID-19, and you may not like where they found it. A group of scientists have come across a potentially life-saving molecule in the venom of a kind of Brazilian pit viper. It is a peptide or a chain of amino acids that limited reproduction of the coronavirus in monkey cells by 75%. The peptide can be synthesized in the laboratory, so there is no need to capture more vipers. Now the researchers will evaluate whether the molecule can be used to create medicine for treating people with COVID-19. Thousands of cows have descended from their summer quarters in the Swiss Alps to enjoy the warm temperatures of lower heights. The cattle herds spent 7 weeks in the Alpine mountains, grazing at an altitude of nearly 2,000 meters. Their journey down started before sunrise and took almost 5 hours to complete. The cows, which couldn't make the trek due to injury, had already been carried down using trucks and helicopters. Farming has found an alternative look in the Netherlands, where cows produce milk on an eco-friendly floating farm. That may seem a surreal image of Rotterdam, the largest port in Europe. A herd of cows peacefully feed on board of what is known as the world's first floating farm. They live on the top floor of the three-story farm, while their milk is turned into dairy products on the other two floors. The floating farm opened in 2019. The owners say it aims to show the future of breeding and farming.
You must realize that the world is under pressure. Therefore, we have less and less land, agricultural land. Our idea is that in this way we can actually create agricultural land close to the city and also adaptable to the climate.
The floating farm is seen as a good alternative for normal farming in the Netherlands. That's a country with scarce land while being threatened by climate change. The farm's owners have also applied eco-friendly methods to make it durable and self-sufficient as much as possible. The methods include using solar panels and feeding the cows with grass from sports fields.
An Australian cyclist has become the first woman in history to pull off a front flip on a mountain bike. Caroline Buchanan landed the front flip at the OD9 cycling event in the German city of Birkenfeld. The maneuver won the former two-time Olympian the women's best trick title in the event. This was the first time the Nines featured a female category. The annual event gathers the world's best slopestyle and freeride mountain cyclists to Germany. A spectacular light show has mesmerized people in a Greek capital, Athens. 200 colorful drones performed a short harmonized display illuminating the night sky. Their colors and shapes were changing alongside music tracks. The show, organized by the Athens Cultural Center, took place 120 meters above the National Opera and Library. An Afghan woman has received the gift of life at a most unlikely time while flying. 26-year-old Saman Nouri was on a plane bound for Birmingham when she started having contractions. She gave birth to a little girl in an altitude of 10,000 meters with the help of the cabin crew. Born in Kuwaiti airspace, the baby is named Hawa, which means Eve or Air in Dari. Both mother and daughter are completely healthy. The aircraft was carrying Afghan citizens evacuated from Kabul. The passengers left behind their old lives, but were gifted with a new one in the process. After all, life does find a way. A French graffiti artist has created a monumental mountaintop project to encourage a more contemplative approach to life, aiming at lifting people's spirits. The giant 1,500 square meter painting is called A New Lease of Life. It was painted on the summit of Mollison Peak in the western Swiss Alps. The 32-year-old artist says he was inspired by the likeness of childlike wonder. The mural depicts a little boy blowing bubbles in an area known for its clouds. The artist says he wanted to reflect the link between children and sky gazing.
I think we live in a world that includes anxiety, and we need a little lightness to balance it. So I believe that the clouds mean dreams and imagination. When we were kids, we liked to imagine shapes in the clouds and so on. And I believe that this is a moment where we have to breathe and also imagine the world of tomorrow with a certain lightness through daydreaming.
Saif also says he designs his creations to fit in with the environment using biodegradable paints made from natural pigments. The French artist is known for his massive graffiti works on grass that are best seen from the air. Some of his other works have adorned an impoverished shanty town in South Africa and the lawn in front of the UN headquarters in Geneva. One of Mexico's largest zoos has launched a one-of-a-kind exhibition, with the star of the show being a manatee couple. Visitors will be able to see the couple at the new exhibition, which is part of the largest aquarium in the country. The zoo received the manatee couple from the Caribbean with the intention of raising awareness for the protection of the species. Part of the ticket proceeds will go toward conservation efforts. Manatees are fully aquatic, mostly herbivorous marine mammals that are sometimes known as sea cows. These funny-looking creatures are endangered because of pollution and fishing techniques.
Paleontologists in Egypt have discovered fossilized bones of an ancient whale that could probably walk on land and swim in water. Scientists found the skull, jaw, and some ribs and identified the parts as the 43-million-year-old ancestor of the modern whale. It's also the earliest type of semi-aquatic whale found in Africa. The whale is estimated to have been 10 meters in length, weighing over half a ton, and was likely a top predator. Scientists say the four-legged whale is a key new species that helps trace the transition of whales from land to sea. Paleontologists believe that the ancestors of modern whales developed from deer-like mammals living on land over a 10-million-year period. The fossilized remains were discovered in Egypt's western desert, which was once covered by sea. A French beekeeper has invented a unique device to keep his beehives safe after suffering a traumatic loss of 35 of them to hungry Asian hornets. The device is a one-way mechanism that baits hornets with sugary water, and once they get in through a funnel, they never come out. Originally, the trap was made of wooden crates and metal mesh, but now they are 3D printed in plastic. Dennis made his first lobster pot to catch the hornets in 2016 and now makes the traps in bulk due to growing demand. The Asian hornets are an invasive insect that arrived in France via a pottery shipment from China. The killer hornet can eat through an entire hive in a matter of hours. There is a festive occasion for a Mexican zoo amid a rare birth boom in its lion enclosure. Keepers and visitors are amazed to hear roars of three newborn cubs. The three baby lions that are trying very hard to roar were born just 2 weeks ago in Zacango Zoo. The zookeepers separate them from their mother for a few hours a day to feed them because their mother cannot produce milk. The two female and male cubs would live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. They are reported to be currently in good health.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A bunker built by the German army in France during World War II has now been given a new lease of life by turning it into an underground guest house. A 4,300 square feet bunker located off Breton coast in northern France was originally built by Nazi troops after invading the country in 1940. The area has been the home of hundreds of such fortifications of the German army. Half of them have been buried along sandy beaches. This underground guest house now belongs to the 52-year-old bunker enthusiast. Serge Gallio says it took 18 months to dig out the buried trench and turn it into a fully functional guest house. He says an attempt was made to preserve some historic aspects during its renovation.
What is nice is to now be able to spend time here, to have dinner, to spend the night in things like this. So we adapted the bunker while preserving a certain feel. We wanted to give the building a second life, so we're not going to live in the past forever. We saved some aspects, you know, where you are. There are historic cues, but this isn't a museum either.
Collio says many French visitors and foreigners, including Germans, have stayed in the guest house since the bunker opened a year ago. The world's highest expressway has opened to traffic in China's Tibet Autonomous Region. It's nearly 300 kilometers long and has an average elevation of 4,500 meters. It connects the cities of Nanchu and Lhasa, shortening the travel time from 6 to 3 hours. The road passes through many picturesque areas, such as snowy mountains, grasslands, and wetlands. The expressway is also environmentally friendly. Special passages have been devised for animals to get from one side of the freeway to the other. An architectural firm in Singapore has come up with a unique idea to deal with the country's constant warm temperatures. A hotel on the island's busy business district has been covered with more than 20 species of creeping plants to keep the place cooler. A layer of vegetation blankets the facade of the Red Tower, which is growing thicker with the passage of time. The plants reduce the ambient temperature by a combination of water evaporation and releasing cooler vapor. The architect says the tower is 10 to 20 degrees Celsius cooler than nearby buildings. The green facades also reduce harmful carbon emissions, which account for over 20% in a spiraling city.
The youngest panda at the U.S.'s Smithsonian Zoo, National Zoo that is, has turned one. Baby panda Xiao Qiji celebrates the milestone by eating a specially made fruitsicle cake with his mother, Mei Xiang, in Washington, D.C. Both pandas dug into their icy cake, an ideal treat in the hot and humid summers of the U.S. capital. Xiao has captured hearts and had many first-time experiences. Some of them include sliding and tumbling around in snow and recognizing his name, which translates to little miracle in English.
He was born during the pandemic, and given the age of his mother, we didn't think she'd have another cub. And the fact that we, not just that we had this miracle, but he has just been, he's given people moments of pure joy and pure happiness.
Xiao Qiji is a fourth surviving cub of Mei Xiang. Its older siblings now live in China under an agreement with the United States. Pandas have been reclassified from endangered to vulnerable thanks to reforestation to expand habitats in which the species can survive. There are an estimated 1,800 giant pandas in the wild.
The annual Buddha sculpture has been unveiled at the New York State Fair to the delight of eager spectators. The artwork was sponsored for the 53rd year by the American Dairy Association. It was carved out of 400 kilograms of butter and took 10 days to build. The sculpture is dedicated to the children who will be going back to their normal lives after the coronavirus pandemic is over. Once the fair ends, all of the butter will be broken down and turned into renewable energy.
IRIB English Radio.